Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 278 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you this week. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What have you been up to?
Oh, I've had my hair done, can't you tell?
I had noticed it was a different colour to normal. It wasn't just a washing exercise
no,
then.
No, I've got no grey now, which is nice.
You never had any grey, did you?
Oh, stop it. I look like Wicked Witch of the West, yeah. Springs to mind.
Okay, right, well, we'll see how that comes in over the next few weeks, because we have Halloween on the way, so that could all work out. What's going up on the show this week? Talking of Halloween.
Well, yes, talking of Halloween, we have a charity Halloween night coming up, and we'll be talking to Sue Duffel about that.
Also, we're finding out from Keith Berry about the Power Please charity and a very special award they received from the Queen.
Our music this week is Benjamin Steele, and we'll be having a chat to him in a while.
Also, we'll be talking to Councillor Elias Matu about the forthcoming events which are taking place for half term, so we can find out what's going on there. But first of all, Dinosaur Zoo arrives at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Thursday, the 23rd of October. To tell us more about it is Lindsay. Hello.
G'day, how's it going?
I'm good. Now, you sound slightly Antipodean, is that correct?
Yeah, ever so slightly. I'm from Australia, as is the show originally. We're all Antipodean dinosaurs, in fact. So, well, not me, of course, I'm the human element, but there you go.
I was hoping, because a talking dinosaur at this point would scare me, but on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, what actually happens? Because there'll be people meeting dinosaurs at 10:30 each of those days at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre.
Absolutely. What we're doing is we're doing our show. It's called Dinosaur Zoo at the theatre, and it's a one-hour opportunity for the people and the children of Wolverhampton to see things up close that they've perhaps only ever seen in their favourite dinosaur books at home.
And it really does bring it to life. I've seen some of the pictures. These are fantastic and huge.
They are indeed. All of our dinosaurs are life-size. They're all based on fossil finds that we've worked very closely with paleontologists over the years. And, what you see is a very lifelike recreation in puppet form of some fantastic Australian dinosaurs.
And I suppose there are noises as well bringing these creatures to life, but they're also literally going to meet some of the kids who are there.
Yes, absolutely. We do have an opportunity after the show for a meet and greet. That's spelled M-E-A-T. But during the show itself, I'm always looking to get some kids up on stage to help us out with the show itself. So it's a very interactive experience. And the look on the kids' faces when I choose them and they come up on stage, it's priceless. Absolutely love it.
So the dinosaurs themselves, obviously lovingly handcrafted based on the best archaeological information you have to hand, and it must take ages to bring this together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what our show is, it's the culmination of about 10 years or so of the show back in Australia, and it started out as a very sort of small street theatre thing and has just gotten bigger and bigger. So we work closely with museums. They kind of let us know about fossil findings, and we work alongside with them, and then our workshop back in Sydney, They build these things. They build these amazingly beautiful creations that literally come to life before your eyes.
Obviously, travelling with these things, it must be great fun getting through customs with your pet T-Rex or something.
It's always interesting, actually, when we try to explain what's in the big black box. There's often a double take involved when you do say what's in store. And I remember once we were driving across the island and we caught the ferry. And funnily enough, the blokes at customs there, they didn't even think twice about it. So it's an interesting thing touring with our group, yeah.
And do the dinosaurs not only have their scientific names, but do you also have pet names for them as well?
We try not to. We don't really give them human names because that's anthropomorphizing them, and we don't really like to do that. But we leave it up to the kids. The kids, pretty soon, they infuse them with personalities themselves based on the behavior of the animals. But that's just a natural thing that humans do with all animals. So we do stick to the scientific names. But when they're up on stage, I look at these creatures as fond friends, really. So even though I'm saying big scientific names, I do mean it with a lot of affection.
Oh, it's all we love. So give us some of the favourite dinosaurs of yours that are in the show.
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't choose a favourite myself. But, the babies are a real favourite. We've got these beautiful little baby dryosaurs. They're the twins. And they're only 7 months old, so they're really cute, and they're fantastic for kind of initiating the response in the kids when they realise, oh, look, it's looking at me, it's blinking, it's making noise, and it's reacting to what the kids do with the dinosaurs. It's beautiful. And then it goes right up to our big old diva of the show, who's the Australovenator, our big old carnivore. And while he might be a bit scary at first for some kids, he's just a bit of a, he's a big puppy, really. So he's good fun. And then we've also got a huge titanosaur that she's so big she doesn't even really fit onto the stage entirely. So that's good fun. And in between all of that, we've got some mid-sized ones and some insects as well. It's good fun.
And because throughout our area, and we've had little triobites, the little creatures that get dug up every once in a while that look
yes.
So, you know, that's in Dudley, just down the road, they had the Dudley bug, which, a load of those have arrived as fossils. And it must be great seeing, when you're travelling, some of the different fossil records in different places that you go to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our planet has this extraordinary history. It goes back millions and millions and millions of years. So pretty much everywhere in the world has its own indigenous set of fossils. And that's what our show is about, is introducing kids to Australian dinosaurs. A lot of kids, you know, everyone knows about the T-Rex and the Stegosaurus and the Triceratops, but it's just a way for kids to kind of realize that maybe in their own surroundings they've got a history that they can explore at their local museum as well.
What sort of follow-up do you get from this? I mean, you must have kids who want to come back for every single day that the show is on, and the schools themselves, who will probably be coming on at least a Thursday and Friday, they're going to be really interested in doing some work off the back of what they learn when they come to the Grand.
Absolutely, yeah. We do have some Dino Mega fans that have been following us around the country, which is good fun. And that's a real testament to the show, in that each show, it is a little bit different depending on what happens when you get the kids up on stage. And we do also have a great learning pack that accompanies the show for schools as well. And I know most kids, I think around year 3 or 4 over here, do study dinosaurs. So it's an absolutely fantastic chance to see things just come to life that sometimes can, you know, things in textbooks, things can be a little bit static, or it's a bit hard to imagine how they might have moved or sounded. And this is the chance to see them up close and personal.
And I suppose beneath the puppet itself, you've kind of got a skeleton, which is allowing them to mimic those movements as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of our puppets, they have a sort of a base structure, and then overlaid, of course, are all of the materials that make them really lifelike. So the skin and the eyes and the claws, all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of thought put into actually making them as lifelike as possible.
And when it comes down to the colours themselves, again, we're working on what we see in reptiles today.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of colour, there's no real way of knowing, but more and more research points to the fact that they were a lot more colourful than we think. They would have all used camouflage, and it would have reflected their surroundings. So dinosaurs that lived in the forest obviously had a bit more of a mottled greeny colour, and dinosaurs that lived in arid areas probably were a bit more brightly coloured. So there's no real way of knowing. The limit really is your imagination. We could make them technicolour if we wanted, and for all we know, that could have been what they look like. There's lots of research now that's pointing to the bigger dinosaurs having feathers as well. So perhaps they were as brightly coloured as parrots. Who knows?
So you never know. Maybe here somewhere past Uluru, there'd be a giant sandstone-coloured dinosaur with feathers absolutely everywhere.
Exactly right. Exactly. That's what where the research is tending to these days. Very exciting.
It sounds like it really is good fun, though, and it must be great being part of that show. And so, as you mentioned, the look on the kids' faces when they see these dinosaurs literally coming to life. It must be brilliant being, taking it somewhere like the UK as well as part of that tour. Are you off anywhere even more further afield? Is there anywhere further you can go?
Well, as I speak, the dinosaurs are actually in Denmark right now. They're getting all Scandinavian. Obviously, I don't get to go to that part of the show because my grasp of Danish is a little, shall we say, non-existent. But I think dinosaurs, you know, speak all languages. And for kids, we've been to the Middle East, we've been to China, there's a team over in the US. It's just kids everywhere love dinosaurs, and as long as the dinosaurs can roar, it doesn't matter what language the kids speak.
Educating as you go as well, absolutely brilliant. So you're at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on the 23rd, 24th and 25th of October. Tickets on 01902 429212 or visit grandtheatre.co.uk. You can find all the details there. And if you've got your kids who are going to be at school on that Thursday and Friday, have a word with the teachers and make sure they're bringing them along to the Grand and enjoying the experience of dinosaurs live, and of course the meet and greet afterwards.
Absolutely, we'll see you all there.
Lindsay from Dinosaur Zoo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Let's have our first track then this week from our musician. It's Benjamin Steele and Storm Chaser.
Approach with caution, treat with care. You played a game, now there's no one there. You got a tattoo and shaved your hair. You think you're Miley, but you're going nowhere. You toy with fire and tease the flames. Cause really you're lonely and in pain. You're living a life that brings you shame. You
the Storm Chaser.
And we find him now on the phone, live and direct from Czechoslovakia. Well, at least the Czech Republic, because it's changed now, hasn't it? I just slipped back to the 90s somewhere along the line. Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate.
So, what brings you to the Czech Republic?
I'm over here working in a studio on some extra bucks for the album. It's all good. Very, very, very nice country.
Wait, why did you have to go that far to get to a studio?
Basically, it was really good studio. Like very, very, very much less expensive than UK studios.
So you're going to get your teeth done at the same time, because that often happens. I've heard the Czech Republic gets dental tourism.
Dental tourism, that's awesome. I love that. That's brilliant.
So tell us more about the album itself then, and the work you've been doing whilst you've been recording over there.
Well, we weren't just over here. We started off in Milan. That's when the band that I was in broke up. I went to Milan because my mate had a studio. So it's always handy to have a mate to have a studio, because it means you're going to get mate rates.
Yeah.
And I just went through like all the songs I'd ever written in my life that obviously hadn't been recorded by visitors or Harry Steele. We spent about a month or two doing that, and just really like making sure that every song like works, like piano, vocals, to make sure it was like really, really, really good. And then my manager at the time, I said to him, would you mind sending the tracks out to like various top producers? Because they had finished vocals on them, and they had finished like MIDI and everything, and, you know, see who buys. Basically, the first person who came back was Timbaland. I was like, really? That's incredible. I got on the plane, armed with my hard drive of piano and vocals, and arrived in New York. That was very, very surreal. I met with Tim's manager, Mike, and he took us to Justin Timberlake's restaurant. And it was all a bit...
It
was like I'd sort of woken up in another world. It was all very weird. This car arrived, and I was like, where are we going? And he was like, he said, just put your bag in. You're going to make a hit. And I was like, okay, this is how we do it over here. Okay, so I just got in this car, completely unknowing where I was going. And I ended up close to Philadelphia at a studio with a gentleman called Jim Beans. And he's done a lot of stuff on Timbaland's solo albums. And he did a lot of stuff for Britney and all that sort of stuff. And it was very, very cool working with him. We did four tracks there, and one of them was Be All Right, which the video is on the internet for that now on YouTube. But it actually didn't make the album. It was the little taster, pre-album taster.
Yeah.
So was Storm Chaser also part of this recording session out there?
No. The story's only just begun, my friend.
Sounds like it's taking us all over the world.
So, yes. After that, I got a call. It was off Timbaland's manager, and he said, would you like to go to LA to perform at Diddy's pre-Grammy party? And I was like, yes, most definitely yes. I would like to do that. That sounds like a very, very cool thing to do. I was like, right, we'll book your plane. And so my session at Jim's was curtailed, and then we went to Miami.
And is that where you produced the Storm Chaser single?
No.
No, okay.
That's not where we produced... No. Then we produced a lot of the stuff with the Timbaland camp. When I was with Timbaland, he started calling me the Beatles, because everything over there... There's no melody. Everything is very sort of rhythm-based. And, like, my writing's quite melodic. He was like, wow, that's a really dope melody, man. And I'm like, yeah. Well, it's like, thanks. It's pretty cool to be nicknamed The Beatles. Not John Lennon. The Beatles. That was pretty cool. And then I got very friendly with a studio in Miami, which was really, really, really nice studio. Spent a couple of months there. We did a large proportion of the album there, but definitely not all of it. And then I had to take a break for personal reasons. I decided I wanted to finish the album in Berlin. And so that's where I worked with Fixer, and Klaus Knapp and all of those people. And that's where I produced Storm Chaser.
We finally got there. That's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. But you've had a real rock and roll journey to get this album to where it is. Tell us a bit more about where we can find your music and about those things that we can find about you online.
My website has got like links to everything, but like on YouTube, I'm Benjamin Steele Official. That's my channel, and that's what you'll see the videos for We're Not Growing Old, which is like the first like little taster single, which was produced in Miami with Dumb and the Timbaland crew and Stormchaser. And that's my YouTube. But if you just go to BenjaminSteeleOfficial.com, that will give you links to everything you want to find out about me.
It is all there. Well, we'll continue listening to the music. Next, we've got Lifted Up. And with Stormchaser, we're Lifted Up. With the same and Charades we're going to hear during the show. Where are you getting your inspiration for your songs from? Do you start off with a tune and then work our way through from there?
The album didn't start off as a concept album, but it is now a concept album about sort of my experiences in America and having to be strong and knowing that like now is the time to really like go for it and you know, Lift It Up is like, it's a song about picking yourself up and, you know, really getting on with it, knowing that like now's the time. And like that came from, I was on holiday actually somewhere. I was in a bathroom and I just had this chorus. I just kept just the hook, the Lift It Up. I just kept on saying, now we gotta lift it up, yeah, we gotta lift it up. And then I developed that more when I was closer to an instrument. Yeah, that's how my songs really start, like writing wise, for a melody, a hook, and then we build around that. Each song on the album sort of tells the story of what happened. I think in the Storm Chaser video you can pretty much, it doesn't leave very much to the imagination. It's a pretty clear depiction of what was going on at that time in my life.
Well, go along to the website, BenjaminSteeleOfficial.com. You can find out more there. You can see the Storm Chaser video and all the other work that you've done. You can get links to your Twitter feed, Facebook, and all the usual places. And not only find out where you'll be playing when you come to be doing a few gigs, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future. Benjamin, great speaking to you.
Exactly.
Thank you for speaking
to
us. It's been good talking to you.
Thank you.
And for taking a break from your studio time in the Czech Republic. We'll let you get back to it over there, okay?
Awesome, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Get ready for life. 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, go.
lift it up.
Half-term week is almost upon us. The 27th through to the 31st sees the kids taking a break from school. And to tell us all about what's going on at the leisure centres within the city of Wolverhampton, we have Councillor Elias Mattu. Hello.
Hello. Good evening to all.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Now, there's plenty of things to keep the kids occupied during half-term. And one of the great places to get along to is the Bert Williams Leisure Centre.
Ever since the Bert Williams Leisure Centre has opened, it's been really very, very popular with families, with mothers, with toddlers, with children particularly. And that's why we are pleased that we are putting these programmes up for young people during the half-term.
What sort of things will be taking place that week?
So there will be swimming activities and in the sports hall there will be different games, you know, organised for children all day long.
And Aldersley Leisure Village is also playing host to events, as is Central Baths. So I'm guessing it's Central Baths that will be doing the snorkelling.
Central Baths are doing snorkelling. That's very popular.
Are these activities very expensive or are they quite
reasonable? No, they're not very expensive at all. We have been very, very mindful of keeping the charges very, very low, so everybody and anybody can afford to bring their children there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be good fun as well, because Wolverhampton and Bilston Athletics Club have a mini-Olympics and also a Halloween-themed fancy dress on the 31st of October. And of course, you can find out full details of all of these on the website, wolverhampton.gov.uk/leisure-centres. But are you going in fancy dress to that one?
Myself? You never know. You know, conferences are all full of surprises.
But it is a busy time of the year, isn't it, for the leisure centres as well?
It's a very, very busy time for the leisure centres. All of our leisure centres, all three of them, leisure centre and Central Baths and also Leisure Village, they're all extremely busy. Well, they're busy throughout the year. Mm. And particularly during this time of the year, we make sure that they are accessible to all age groups.
Yeah, it's nice to keep them entertained, isn't it, when they're off school? So do people have to book in at the lot to be able to get really popular?
People can actually go in. They don't have to book in advance. You know, these days bookings, leisure services are so easy now. You can do it online. And or you can go to City through City Direct, which is a 555-1155 number. And you can book any activity through that way.
And what have you got going on over the coming months? Because some of your colleagues are currently on a bit of a weight loss regime. So are you keeping an eye on them?
We are actually. They're doing. You know, I'm really so proud of them. I mean, my own background is sport, and I'm a sports instructor myself. And it's great to see counsellors leading on this. And three of our counsellors are doing extremely well, you know, Paul and Simpkins and Daniel Warren. I think they're doing extremely well.
Yeah, well, we've seen the before pictures. They've actually seen some good weight loss, so that's part of their five-week challenge. You can also find out more about that by following them on youtube.com/Wolverhampton Today for more details, or you can also pop along to Twitter and see what they're up to on there. So twitter.com/slimlinesweet is the way to find out what Mr. Paul Sweet has been up to. So it's a good time for the council to be have all these events going on, particularly as the darker nights mean that the kids aren't playing out in the streets, so they're using the leisure centres as fully as possible. And what have you got planned in the run up to the Christmas period?
Well, we got from now on right up to Christmas, we all got something going on in our leisure centres. And you know, you're right, during the dark months, you know, the next couple of months, we don't want children hanging around on the streets. We want them to go into places where parents feel that their children are at safe places. And it's activity, it's a physical activity for children. Mm. Obesity is a big problem for our city, and this is one way of addressing it. And we're doing our best.
I feel I need to take part as well, because on the grounds I'm a few stone overweight at the moment, so I must come along and maybe use one of the leisure centres and see how we get on there.
I heard that you're very slim.
Oh, you said this is unfortunately not true.
He hasn't paid you to say that.
But there we go. If you want more information about all the events that are coming up, wolverhampton.gov.uk/leisure-centres, or you can call 01902 551010, 551010, for more information from the leisure centre team. Guest number two, have a good time. If you do go out in fancy dress or trick-or-treating, please be safe, OK?
OK, thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Let's take another track from Benjamin Steele now. This is We're the Same.
We're
make you more ill than you believe. Just lay by my side and I'll be your guide to fantasy. 'Cause everybody wants to be a winner. Make themselves feel tall. Yeah, everybody wants to be a winner. But lately I've been feeling so damn small.
Benjamin Steele and We're the Same. Now, as we head towards Halloween night, everybody's looking for a good night out, and this one sounds like a fab one. It is the charity Halloween night at Springvale Sports and Social Club, and to tell us all about it, we have Sue Duffel.
Hello!
Hello!
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you're part of the team behind Wolverhampton Past and Present, a fantastic bit of Facebook with lots of pictures all over it, I think, isn't it?
That's right.
It's
our love of our hometown.
It's a fan, and city as it is now. So
that's right.
But yeah, a fantastic place to be, and you're nipping along to Bilston for the Springvale Sports and Social Club for this bit of a do, and it's all in aid of charity. Where's the money going to?
It's going to the Broadmeadow Special School in Lansdowne Road in Wolverhampton, and also to Air Ambulance this time.
So two really good causes.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's just £4 a ticket, and fancy dress is optional.
That's right. It's £4 a ticket for adults and over 11s, and under 11s is just £1.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Get the kids along.
And you can come in fancy dress. There is a prize for the best fancy dress outfit.
Yeah, I think everybody will, won't they? Because it's getting a bigger event, isn't
it? See, the thing is, though, you could turn up in your normal dress and maybe still win a prize. However, it's going to be a good night, because Graham Ronson's down there. Who's he?
He's Graham, actually. He's a chappy off the Facebook. His name's Graham Tilley.
Right.
He sang for us the last time. We had a group on last time, and this time we decided we'd try a disco. And it's all they're all giving their night for free. And it should just be a real good night, as it was the last time. We anticipate 250 people there. And when we did it before, we was quite shocked how much we did raise in our first ever meet. So this time we're hoping to hit the £1,000 if we can.
Oh, that would be really good, wouldn't it? And so you
help two good charities and they deserve it.
And there will be some good pictures on Facebook, I trust, as well.
More than likely.
It all gets going at 7:30. It's on until late, which knowing you guys is probably going to be very, very late. But do you need to book in advance this one, or can you just turn up on the night?
You can, yes. We would rather, because we know how many tickets we've sold. There is, through the Facebook page, there's myself, Sue Duffel, who will go and take the tickets to anybody anywhere, obviously Wolverhampton and surrounding areas. There's Helena Tilley. She's doing the Pent and Bradmore area. There's Stuart Richmond, he's doing the Bilston area, and Alicia Mosley, who is the main person. She actually started the group, but she's admin for Wolverhampton past and present, and she's going to be doing Coburn, Brewood and anywhere else. Mm-hmm.
So all we need to do is get along to Facebook, like Wolverhampton past and present, and then just send you a little message and say you want tickets, and then you'll do the rest from there.
I mean, if they can't, they can always donate. You know, Alicia was trying to set up her donating page, and we said it'd be 6,000 members if they only all donated £1 each. You know, that would be £6,000, which is
a lot of
money.
Good.
You know, and we can then, we don't keep none of the money. Every penny that we raise is put to the charities. And, you know, we just like to think, well, Wolverhampton people got their hearts big enough to help support somebody else in our own town that aren't supported by the national or by the government funding, all the smaller ones.
And as worrying it is to say, we may need the air ambulance sometime.
Yes, exactly. They do a very good job.
Yeah,
they do, and they don't get recognised enough for all the work they do. So, and as we say, this little children's special school, there's only 52 children in the school, and it is for severe autism spectrum disorder.
So they will put that money to good use to make sure they get the best out of their education they can.
Exactly. I mean, if it's any funds, you know, well, I don't know if it's a sensory room or any form of material, you know, anything that they need, it's there for their help.
Yeah. On the actual night, is it that the money that you're raising just coming from ticket sales, or is
that... No, we've got a raffle. More?
Oh, there's got to be a raffle. Brilliant. We like a good raffle. Yeah.
Rudell's, the jewellers, have been very kind. They've donated a beautiful cut glass crystal vase. We've got tickets from the Robin 2 Club for the Blues Brothers. We've got raffle tickets, well, prizes from the Dogs at Wolverhampton. We've got them from Aphrodite, the restaurant. The Mayor of Wolverhampton's donated a bottle of wine and a paperweight of the Wolverhampton Shield. So, and there's other prizes as well, you know. So we do quite well, really, out of it.
Yeah, so people need to bring a bit of money with them as well, so they can...
There is food available, because last time there was people bringing in their own food, and the cheese and onion cobs were just going down lovely, you know.
That's proper Black Country food as well, isn't it? That's quality, that is.
So they have offered to put us some food if people desire to have food there.
Yeah, a bit of black pudding with that and you're sorted.
Well, it's nice pinching the crumbs off somebody else.
That's the way. You'd only be getting hungry, particularly not when you're having a few beers as well, of course.
It's nice when you smell the cheese and onion aroming around the room. Oh my God, just let me have a nibble. Have the cheese and onion.
I was going to say to keep the vampires away, but that's garlic, isn't it?
Similar family, I'm sure. So what are you going dressed as, Sue?
Well, I've got a choice at the moment. So I'm deciding on Queen of Hearts. Or to go as, I was going to go as Burlesque, but I think it might be a bit cold.
Oh, so. I don't know. I'm sure that would be popular. if you feel like it, go for it. That's the way.
We'll see. I might change my mind and go as a really horrible witch.
So you never know. Just keep an eye out for Sue Duffel down there at Springvale Sports and Social Club. It's Millfields Road in Bilston. The event itself is on Saturday, the 1st of November. It's a charity Halloween night. Do let them know via the Wolverhampton Past and Present Facebook page if you want to go along. It's only £4. Fancy dress is optional, but do take some cash for the raffle.
That's it. You've got it.
So lovely speaking to you. Thanks again for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
We expect preview pictures of the costume, whatever happens. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
let's have our last song then from Benjamin Steele. It's Charades.
You're stressed, depressed, but we're well dressed up in here. Exposing and drinking too much seem like you don't care. In an age of excess, feels like we're gaining less and less. We best get more fakeness up in here. And I look in your eyes, sipping on your champagne, keeping up a campaign, baby. Do you really feel fine? Or can I see the tear stains underneath the face?
Pairplease is a Wolverhampton-based charity that's helped over 100 children with severe physical disabilities obtain much-needed mobility aids and given them greater independence. Now, the collections have also been worked with alongside Tetnall Rotary Club, and Wolverhampton Wanderers have had pre-match collections over the years. To join us on the phone now and tell us more about it, Keith Berry, the chairman. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
The work that you guys have been doing has been officially recognised by the Queen, not only, with the Queen's Award for the Voluntary Service, and Major Sylvia Parkin, Deputy Lieutenant for the County of the West Midlands, presented you with a scroll and also a very nice piece of glassware in honour of this award.
Yes, because we're a committee and it's a team effort. We have a paediatrician, a physiotherapist, a head teacher, parents of children that have had physical disabilities and used wheelchairs, and a wheelchair user on our committee. What we're going to do with those, goodness only knows. They'll have to be rented out, I think.
Timeshare, that'll do it.
Timeshare, so that's right. Weeks.
So, I mean, it's a major award. It was presented at the Wolves versus Middlesbrough match, and really a fitting place to do it based on the amount of money that has been raised by supporters at Molineux.
I think the support has been tremendous. Great support from Tetnall Rotary Club. And Rachel Hayhoe Flint. Sorry, Baroness Rachel Hayhoe.
Get the title in. That's the way to do it.
Get the title in. She joined forces with us after we'd been going for a few years because someone had approached the Wolves and asked them if they could assist in raising funds for a wheelchair for a particular lad. And in fact, that lad was there, Darren Langston. He was our first, in inverted commas, Wolves wheelchair recipient. And he's since then joined our committee. It keeps him out of trouble, I think. No. He comes along and I'm absolutely delighted that he's involved in this tonight.
And how many years have you been going all together? I think it's a fair few now, isn't it?
We started in 1987. Mm. 1987 was the year that a lot of powered electric wheelchairs were put on the market. They cost something like £2,500 each in those days, and they were well out of reach of most ordinary members of the public. If you were a millionaire, as one of our first committee members was, he bought one for his son and helped to set up the charity because he wanted them for other children as well as just his own. Mm. So 1987, and in that first year, we provided six for youngsters with life-limiting conditions, conditions that, well, if the youngsters themselves have all moved on now, their life expectation was 18, 19, 20 years of age. Mm.
But at least through the work of the charity, they have this, you know, this sort of independence and mobility that was the best it could be for them during that time. And as much as that is, it's sad to know that they've gone, but at least you've done your part and the charity itself has done its bit to try and make their lives as pleasant as possible.
Well, the thing is, yes, that you had youngsters that could now, with the chairs that came on the market, they could climb curbs. They could travel twice as far that they could previously, both indoors and outdoors, because far more robust batteries were used in these early chairs. And basically, children could also, who use these wheelchairs, could also turn their backs on you easily, which, and freeze you out. It gave them a repertoire of tricks. I've got bruises, permanent scars to show how somebody could attack me who previously would have been unable to do so.
But it means they're an equal member of society, which is exactly the way it should be. So that's the way we like it. So, I mean, if people do want to make a donation to Power Please or find out more about the work, what do they do?
Well, they can get contact details on our website, powerplease.org. That's one way in which they can get in touch with us to make a donation. But powerplease.org is our website.
That's the way to get in touch and find out more. And you say you can see the work that's been done and meet some of the people behind the committee and how it all works. Keith, congratulations on the award. I know you and your committee really do deserve it, and it is going to be an honour to know that you've got that scroll, and it's been done on behalf of the Queen, who is clearly aware of your work and the good work that has been done there.
Thanks very much indeed.
That is it for this week's show. All done and dusted.
Yep.
You're just looking at me blankly now. You've had you've done a massive programme.
I'm drained.
It's been a long, long show for you, has it? You have to think of lots of questions and, dress up and everything. But there we go. Right, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week for more. See you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.